Today's episode of Beyond the Mask is presented by the team at CRNA Financial Planning. Get a free consultation today to be guided through the complexities of investing and financial planning. Just visit crnafinancialplanning.com. Beyond the Mask is also sponsored by crnaeducation.com. CRNAs, you can get the CE credits you need by just going to crnaeducation.com. They have over 100 AANA prior approved credits, all four core CPC modules, and even over 40 pharmacology credits. No subscriptions, it's all online and mobile friendly. Just go to crnaeducation.com. And don't forget, listening to our podcast can earn you Class B credits. For more information on how you can submit them, check out our CE credit tab on our website, beyondthemaskpodcast.com. Welcome to Beyond the Mask, innovation and opportunities for CRNAs and advanced practice nurses, with certified financial planner Jeremy Stanley and CRNA Sharon Pierce. Jeremy Stanley has worked with CRNAs for more than 23 years, and Sharon Pierce is a former president of the AANA and the NCANA. Join us as we leave the operating room and learn the latest in the CRNA and advanced practice nurse industries. Beyond the Mask starts in 10, 9, 8,
7. Sharon, welcome to Seattle.
Oh, the weather here is fantastic. After, what,
90-something degrees and the humidity.
Last week, Raleigh-Durham set a record, or tied the record for the hottest day, 115 degrees heat index. So to come here and to walk out this morning and it was 70 degrees.
Yeah, feels amazing. It feels amazing. Like fall.
I know. Fall at home.
Yeah, fall at home. That's for sure. That's for sure. Well, we're at ANA again. This is a great place to be at the meeting.
It is my 30th consecutive annual Congress.
That's amazing.
I know,
that
right?
is amazing.
They don't even have a 30th ribbon. I had to get a 25 and a 5 to put it
Did
on.
Did you really?
Yeah. See?
Oh, that's funny.
Look at that.
Look at you breaking the mold. Next year they'll have one, by gosh. All right. We got a couple guests in the studio with us today.
Yes, we do. And, this is a topic that you and I both love.
Yeah. So, I'm looking forward to this one.
Right in our wheelhouse.
You want to introduce them?
Well, no, you introduce them.
Well, you always make me do all the work. You know, I've got to record.
You're taking part of my luggage home, too. I just hate to tell you.
So we've got Donna Keeney and Kathy Horvath. Did I say that right?
That's correct.
Okay, great. Sometimes I mess names up.
So yes, he does. Maybe I should have
hopefully,
taken
Hopefully, that's why I usually let her do that. So.
Yeah, but I get to make fun of him if he messes it up.
So why don't you each tell us a little bit about you, and then we'll introduce our topic for the day.
I'm Donna Keeney, and I'm a CRNA at Nashville, Tennessee, at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, and I am our nurse manager for our CRNA division of the ambulatory division there. And I've also been on the health and wellness committee over the past year there at AANA, and have had the pleasure to work alongside Dr. Kathy Horvath here, and it's been a very good year, eye-opening.
Well, Kathy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm Kathy Horvath. I've been a CRNA since 1992.
Ah, same year I graduated.
There you go. Yay. Still practicing, although in 2008 I switched most of my practice to education, so I've been on the education side. I've been faculty at Georgetown University, and then had a four-year stint at Johns Hopkins helping launch their nurse anesthesia program there. And now I'm
with Bruce Shoneyboom.
With Bruce Shoneyboom.
I know Bruce.
I know he's a gem. Now I'm back at Georgetown University in their nurse anesthesia program again. My last years of
Georgetown.
Georgetown.
Okay, was that Donna Jasinski's program?
Yes.
Donna served on my board.
Yes.
Love Donna.
I love Donna too. She keeps in touch, so it's great. I have a passion for the health and wellness of our membership. Unfortunately, kind of came out of seeing some of our colleagues succumb to substance use disorder. So, but I'm, a champion of health and wellness now. I've been on the health and wellness committee with the AANA for the last 4 years and chair the last 3 years. So,
and that's how you guys met.
That's how we met.
Okay.
Yes.
The AANA brings people together.
Oh, absolutely.
Love
yes.
this association. So, Donna, why don't you tell us what you think are the top issues facing CRNAs in the workplace related to health and wellness?
I think a lot of it right now is finding that work-life balance. Mm-hmm. You know, we struggle for finding the right balance of hours. Everybody's coming off of, you know, from COVID and the pandemic with trying to, you know, not work too much. We're seeing, at least at my institution, a lot of people really trying to reduce hours. And we're still trying to find a balance for everybody, you know, with letting people reduce their hours and find a work balance, but still have enough people to be able to, you know, fill all of the seats and take care of everybody. So, we're finding very creative ways to do that. But I think that's the biggest struggle, and people, you know, kind of breaking the mold of some of those old ways that we've all been taught of, hey, you know, it's, no, you gotta keep pushing, you gotta keep hustling. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, no, yeah, you gotta keep saying yes to those OT shifts that keep popping up or that you're asked to do. And, you know, as a leader, as a CRNA manager, I have to, you know, ask people to do that sometimes. And I am always okay with somebody saying, no, I can't do it. But I have to tell people that, you know.
Yeah.
But I often worry that people sometimes aren't okay saying no, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a tough environment
because, you know, everybody's looking for CRNAs. There's not enough of them out there.
Right.
And now we're bringing up a generation of CRNAs that don't want to work overtime, that work-life
right.
balance is a lot more important to them than maybe, say, Sharon's generation, for
right.
example. You know, I mean, it used to be, especially for a woman, you know, if you wanted to work and make a name for yourself, you worked twice as hard as a man.
That's still true.
Is it still true? It is changing, but then that's good. But yeah, I mean, that's got to be really, really tough given the fact of those factors at this point. So, and you know, my wife's a CRNA as well, and that's very important to us, that work-life balance. And
she takes the whole summer off. Y'all got the work-life balance down pat.
She takes the summers off, and she takes off when the kids are out of school. I mean, she does 1099, so that helps. But yeah, I mean, and developing, so I'd be interested in knowing, you know, what you guys are developing around that topic at some point. I think that'd be a great podcast, so. Kathy, why don't you tell us, you know, what effects do these issues have both on maybe the healthcare facility and the individual CRNA?
Well, I think like Donna was saying, the healthcare facility is struggling with how do we keep operations going? And I think that's their main focus. Mm-hmm. And while everybody talks about health and wellness, and there may even be a chief wellness officer at a facility, mm-hmm. that's supposed to be kind of paying attention to these things, it's hard for everybody. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, it comes down to the money to keep the facilities
right.
running. But I think that they struggle with what to do with this problem also, because
right.
they do ask a lot of the whole team that's in the OR. You know, everybody you know, needs to work harder. Everybody needs to be more efficient. Everybody needs to show up more often. And I think it's trying to figure out how to work with all that. I mean, there are some providers out there that are trying to cash in right now because
yeah.
the market is,
oh, yeah.
you
Good.
Know, they're out there working very hard, but which is great. And, you know, if you have the energy for that and the mental capacity for it, it's great. But I think if you're struggling a little bit and just only doing it for the money, it becomes a spiral for some people. So it is. I'm sure for facilities, we're going to be talking later today at the conference about a national plan trying to get its systems to pay attention to this and figure out how to make the systems more efficient so that their workforce can be, you know, more well, mm-hmm. have better well-being. But it's a struggle and trying to figure it out.
Yeah, it is. And you're right. There are CRNAs out there right now making hay while the sun's shining.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
a lot of money to be made. You know, I know that even new grads right now are getting opportunities doing 1099. And, you know, I've got some that come out and they're making over $400,000. And they come out with $200,000 in debt. But a year, 18 months, mm-hmm. they paid it all off. Mm-hmm. and they've set goals and parameters, and they've still got the energy to be able to do that when they're young. You start adding kids and family and other responsibilities and, you know, maybe some health things going on, and it gets tougher and tougher to do that as life progresses, for sure.
But, you know, I can remember coming out of school, and I just loved giving anesthesia so much. I just wanted to work all the time. Mm-hmm. I did.
I mean, I think that's great. I mean, if you have that opportunity, I think it's just more the institutions need to have a culture of recognizing wellness of their providers.
That's true.
Very good point.
Not just doing your job. It's they need to pay attention to their workforce and make sure that everybody is balanced and having opportunities where they want them, but being able to step back.
So what I'm hearing is you think that we need a culture shift. I mean, I did come from the culture, you know, suck it up, buttercup, and 24-hour calls, and then you were on. You had to work the day after your call, and you know, I can remember I had been up 36 hours, and I did like 14 endoscopy cases the next day because you had to, and nobody complained about it because you were seen as less than if you complained about it, right?
Right.
So am I hearing that you guys think that we need to have a reset?
Absolutely. I mean, I often compare that when I talk to people as the fact that, you know, I grew up in a time when seatbelt laws were not in effect.
Same.
All right?
My daddy still never wore a seatbelt up to the day he died.
I mean, I didn't grow up having to wear a seatbelt until I got a little bit older. All right. So, but that didn't mean that I was going to put my child in the car without a seatbelt, right? Mm-hmm. So why would I impose that
on people,
you know, on our new generation of CRNAs coming into the profession now? Why would we do that to them? We wouldn't. We wouldn't do that to our children in a car. So why would we do that to CRNAs now? We know better. So just like in the Jan Stewart lectureship today, we know better. So let's do better. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no reason not to.
Hey, CRNAs, it's time to simplify your continuing education. Welcome to CRNAeducation.com, your trusted provider for CPC core modules and a plethora of Class A CE credits. You can explore 43 detailed articles covering various anesthesia topics, all from your favorite device, anytime, anywhere. And with over 40 pharmacology CE credits, meet your state board requirements effortlessly. Whether you need a few credits or everything to recertify, we have what you need. Just complete your credits online without any subscriptions or recurring charges. You can trust in our 100% CRNA-owned platform, established in 2011, ensuring you receive the best in customer service and educational content. Ready to learn? Go to crnaeducation.com, making continuing education easy and accessible. And don't forget that support is always a quick email or a text or phone call away. To sign up and learn more, just go to crnaeducation.com.
All right, so we've identified one thing, culture, that we need to do to combat these issues. Are there any other things that we can do to kind of facilitate the health and wellness of our community?
I think it's very multifaceted, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not one solution. It's not like we can say get behavioral therapy for everybody and we'll all be perfect.
Right.
You know, changing culture will help. Improving efficiency in the healthcare system could help. You know, the electronic medical record. How stressful is that? At my age, I'm like, oh, another one I have to learn, and that's incredibly stressful for me. But and some of it is making sure that everyone knows what resources are available to them at different times of their life. You know, a lot of times we don't need those, you know, resources for when we're struggling, but sometimes we do. And do we really know where we can access them? And are we given the opportunity to access them? Sharon, kind of to your question, it's really very complex about how we're going to solve this problem. But, you know, I do think a lot of our members are struggling, whether it's just, you know, with mental health issues of depression or whether they're fatigued from their jobs, they're just kind of burned out. And how do we reinvigorate them to kind of get that passion back for their profession?
So tell me a couple of strategies right now that you could suggest to your place of employment to improve clinician well-being. Give our listeners some meat here.
I think being more intentional about getting those resources out there, whether that is talking about it at your monthly, you know, staff meetings and making space for well-being, putting the resources out there, whether that is an on-demand kind of platform for them to see, whether it's in a newsletter, however that might be, just making them aware that they are there. Sometimes your facility has all of these things in place and you don't even know it because do you have, I mean, if you're already struggling with just trying to get, you know, your shifts in and get the kids to school and to every soccer practice and dance recital and everything else and check your emails that you're supposed to and do your modules that you're supposed to and everything else, you don't have time to go through your facility's resources of everything they have. So if you've got somebody who can look and kind of curate these things for you, then wouldn't that help, you know? And so if you can have, you know, somebody appointed almost to do that and say, hey guys, this is what's going on right now, this quarter, this month, or whatever it might be, you never know who that might help, who might be struggling with something, who might be, you know, trying to do something as simple as lose weight, or who might have just gotten a new diabetes diagnosis or pre-diabetes and is trying to, you know, maybe get on a program where they can prevent some long-term problems, or who just found out that, you know, their child is suffering with anxiety and they just found a resource that is now new that their facility has put out there for, you know, everybody to be able to tap into, for not only employees but families as well. So I think that,
so I'm hearing maybe a health and wellness person touch point within your group, at your hospital. I used to work at a place in the late 90s, and they used to have, they called them AA meetings, and everybody in the, it was a little ASC, very close. Let me tell you, these people are all retired, and they still get together. I have not been able to go since I moved away, but whenever I say AA meetings, they called them attitude adjustment meetings.
I like
and
that.
And we would have an AA meeting once a month, and everybody would go, the anesthesiologists, the pre- and post-op nursing staff, all the CRNAs. And, of course, you know, everybody couldn't come every month, but people would drop in. But that group still looks out after each other. They have their own personal Facebook page. And so, you know, they'll put out so-and-so just had a hip replacement or so-and-so's husband just died and their address. And so we all still stay in touch in that way. So they were way ahead of their time with health and wellness of a community. So,
and probably unlike a lot of other workplaces that don't support that.
Yeah. Well, that leads into the next question is, do you think that healthcare facilities are willing and able to implement this change for their clinicians? They both look at each other.
I know.
Depends on the facility, I'm sure.
Right. I think there's probably a lot of pressure on facilities to at least appear like they're addressing it. Because... like you said, the younger generation, I think they're very willing to talk about their emotions and their feelings and their struggles. And that has kind of pushed the media to talk about it. And there's lots of publications about how everybody's struggling. So I think health facilities kind of have to show that they're trying to address it. Now, whether they can find a good solution or not is another question. You know, you would like to think we're all in healthcare and we want to help people, which includes the people that work there. So, but, you know, sometimes I even struggle with thinking about what are the solutions, because it is so complex. What is a solution that you can really take institute at your school or your facility that's really going to work. I don't know. Maybe it'll work in one place but not another. So, but again, I think facilities kind of have to address it. If they don't, then they're going to be toxic work environments, or they're really going to get labeled as not addressing their workforce.
Today's show is brought to you by the folks at CRNA Financial Planning, an independent consulting firm that offers financial planning services exclusively to CRNAs and their families. From planning for a child's future college expenses to building a predictable income stream in retirement, the firm is committed to offering you comprehensive financial services customized to fit your unique needs and objectives. If you have questions about your financial future, get them answered. Call the team at 855-304-3748. That's 855-304-3748. Or go online to crnafinancialplanning.com.
So, Donna, what do you think the obstacles are to help for healthcare facilities not to implement something? And you said you're at Vanderbilt. I mean, what a facility that is.
Right. And I mean, and we do there. We do. But we, you know, I think we're going to start seeing places not survive if they don't. I just think that it's going to be a matter of survival, because they're, I think the numbers are speaking for themselves. People are going to leave. People are going to just, they're not going to, they already are leaving the workforce. And it is just, it's going to reach a point where who's going to be left to do the work? And so you have to get creative. You have to look at some real solutions if you're going to stay in the game and, you know, have providers who are going to be well enough to do this. And the more, you know, research that comes out showing that this is what we need to have providers be able to provide safe patient care, quality care, and get the job done, the more it really makes sense to them as well. Maybe this is the way to go. And so I mean, maybe it's the optimist in me, but I really think that we're going to start seeing more, you know, facilities, institutions get on board with this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, whether it be because they're, you know, their feet are to the fire now or what, I do think that the time is right. And it's, you know, I think the momentum is there, and it's time to keep doing it.
COVID
right.
COVID had to have pressurized this topic.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like our presentation's title, the burning platform of burnout.
Well, you know, the other thing I'm hearing here is that, you know, culture matters. And if you have a culture that doesn't appreciate their workforce, it doesn't understand their workforce, you are going to have a mass exodus.
Yeah.
And you're seeing that in some places. But I'm also hearing that some facilities are coming out with different types of work shifts for to accommodate people who might not want to work like other folks. And, you know, they're kind of strategizing together with some of the CRNAs to make that an even better place. You know, I've even heard that, you know, some facilities are offering, you know, a little less pay for that more flexible schedule. And the folks that, you know, have the regular schedule, they're paying them a little more. So they're trying to come up with solutions for that. Because I'll tell you, there are a lot of CRNAs out there that would give up $20 an hour to have a more flexible work schedule.
Right.
Those types of things, I think, are some of the solutions that are out there, you know, that maybe facilities could employ. You know, I think the other thing that we're starting to see, at least on our end, is we are starting to see big medical facilities make use of locums to kind of help facilitate where some of their, you know, regular employees don't want to work 40 hours. They want to work 20. They're willing to accommodate them, and they're substituting locums in there with that to give some of that flexible work schedule. It costs a little more money, but it shows that you're trying to solve the problem. So I think some of those things I've already seen, at least with our client base. So.
We did that. We saw some locums come through, you know, with the height of the pandemic. And, you know, we saw that on both the nursing side as well as the CRNA side. And that in and of itself, not necessarily with the CRNA side, but you can see where that also could cause some animosity among the two groups, you know, between the locums and the regular staff too. So that's a tight wire to walk as well. So
yeah.
you know, there definitely needs to be a balance, and you have to maintain and show your regular staff that you value them.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, one of the things that our institution did as well was kind of created our own little locum group among those regular staff to show them that they valued them, and that while, again, like you were talking about, you're not going to have that location, if you would be willing to go to all the different areas as a locum on a moment's notice, that maybe you would get more pay.
Right.
And so that was one thing that they, I think, you know, were able to do to help a lot with the nursing staff. But I mean, there's, you know, it's like we keep saying, there's just no one good answer.
It's a complicated issue.
Very complicated.
Yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely.
This is Jackie Rolls, President of the International Federation of Nurse Anesthetists. I'm inviting you to attend the 15th World Congress for Nurse Anesthetists, May 7th through 9th, 2026 in Brisbane, Australia. I promise you that you will love meeting nurse anesthetists from around the world, attending the multitude of Congress sessions, and exploring the many unique experiences that Brisbane has to offer. Hold a koala bear, feed kangaroos directly from your hand, climb Story Bridge, one of the only three climbing bridges in the world, or travel to snorkel the Great Barrier Reef. This is one Congress you do not want to miss. Cheers.
So we've been talking about facilities and how they can help. You know, what about accountability to ourselves, and what can we do for our own health and well-being?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is just to always constantly do a self-assessment. You know, just how am I doing? Am I feeling okay? Do I feel like I need help? So kind of doing that, you know, daily or regular assessment of how you're doing. I think there, you know, taking care of our physical health is important. So which, you know, I think we all at different points don't, right? Mm-hmm. We're working too much and we're tired and we've got other responsibilities. So we just don't take care of ourselves. So I think taking care of our physical health is important, both in eating and exercise and just regular doctor visits and, you know, just kind of normal things.
Yeah.
Colonoscopy.
Exactly. taking the time off to do that, right?
Yeah, which Jeremy just had.
Oh, lovely, lovely. And, you know, and then it goes into when you're doing those checks on yourself, if something is off, if something's telling you something's off, it probably is off.
Right.
And addressing it.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means getting help to address it.
Getting help. And I think the first thing is self-analysis.
Yeah.
You know, you just hit the nail on the head. You know, we realize things that are off with ourselves. If not, our spouse is definitely going to tell us.
Or your work wife.
Or your work wife. Right. Yeah, exactly.
And you ignore it, right? So a lot of times you just ignore it.
It'll get better. It's okay.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it'll be fine. But I think that's the first thing is saying something's off. You know, something's just not quite right. And then seeking help for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You mean like texting me and saying, sorry, I was crabby?
Yeah, exactly.
That might be all it takes.
That's right.
And then it makes you feel better and you can move on.
That's right. That's right. So what kind of resources are available to CRNAs if they're interested in this or want to be a champion of clinician well-being?
Oh, my gosh. So many. AANA is amazing. And, you know, their quick link is aana.com/getting help. And it is a wealth of knowledge on that page. And they can go there and just start there. And there are tons of little off, you know, sites from there that will take you. And there is student health, you know, resources as well. Just about anything you can think of. Do you have some other?
Yeah, so I echo the AANA has just so many resources. They also have resources for like transitioning within your career.
Right.
So that sometimes can help with your wellness, just right. knowing how to navigate that. But having been with the Health and Wellness Committee, there are a lot of organizations that are trying to address wellness of their providers. So like Healthy Nurse, Healthy Nation by the right. American Nurses Association. You know, I signed up for that and kind of not knowing what it was, but, you know, they have like weekly, oh, you know, go for a walk today or eat well today. Mm-hmm. So just kind of little reminders of how to keep yourself healthy. That's an initiative they started, but it's not just for registered nurses. You know, anybody can sign up. There are the National Academy of Medicine, which we're going to speak about later, has a national plan that gives some suggestions how systems can change. And some of them, even though it seems kind of broad and more organizational changes, I think an individual provider could spearhead or just start talking about some of those things that then could get embedded into organizations. There are lots of conferences around health and wellness. Sigma Theta Tau, our Nursing Honor Society, has a Creating Healthy Work Environments, and that's all about different organizations and how they're trying to better their organizations. And so there's a lot about clinical improvements, clinical facilities. Ohio State University, as a university, they made a systems change within their university, both in the university for their students, but also in their healthcare facility. And so they have a conference every year and talk about all the amazing work that they're doing to improve their student body, and then their workforce in the healthcare system. So there is a ton out there. But starting with the AANA website is a great place because it will direct you to a lot of these resources.
Yeah, and there's even a ton of podcasts out there about that as well.
Absolutely, you know? So, yes.
Not to plug podcasts, but, you know, yes. I mean, if you're on Spotify or anything else, you can just mm-hmm. plug it in
and
it pops up. Yeah. You can listen to Absolutely. That anytime you want to, yeah. just
and,
saying.
So. Yeah, and I think some of those are on the AANA website too that you can yeah. link to you guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, this has been great. Anything as we conclude that you guys want to leave our audience with or get across to them?
I'll just end with a very short, just be well, seek help if you need it. I think there's a lot of people that care about you out there, and we want to make sure that you're, you know, well. So just seek help if you need it.
Absolutely.
And you can have other resources, like most people know the Fab Four, my girlfriends, yeah. Carol Deutscher, Jackie Rolls, Tracy Castleman, and, you know, we descend whenever somebody needs help. Like our friend Carol could not come to the meeting. Her mother is ill. It's really trying for her. So we're all going to Minnesota the last weekend of September. And Carol says, well, where do y'all want to go? What do you want to do? I said, we just want to sit around a fire, drink some wine, and see if you're okay.
Yeah.
And Carol don't drink, so we're drinking wine. But, you know, if you've got people around you who can recognize that something's going on, I mean, Jeremy's usually pretty quick in figuring out if something's going on with me, and he'll text me, are you okay? You were a bitch or whatever. So I think that's important, is having those relationships that kind of keep you
in check.
Yeah. And who knows, whenever mm-hmm. you might not know that you're not okay, but they know you're not okay.
It's true.
Or you can have your husband call the Fab Four and say, something's wrong with Sharon.
You know, it's true. As CRNAs, we're often, after those moments of induction, we're often at the head of the bed alone. But we need to remember that we don't have to go through this life alone. We are a community of people who understand each other, and we can help each other. And all we have to do is reach out. This is a amazing community.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And there's so many people, and especially when you come to, you know, conferences like this, there's so many people. And that's what we do, right? We mm-hmm. love helping each other. So yeah. just, you know,
exactly.
don't even hesitate to reach out to somebody, because there's somebody who's like very excited to help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's mm-hmm. true. Like the Fab Four, after my granddaughter died, they said, aww. Okay, you need to grieve. And so we all went to New Jersey to Tracy's house, sat on the porch, and they grieved with me.
Yeah. It's good. Wow. Yeah. Yep. Everybody needs a group like that. Mm. But unfortunately today, a lot of people don't have groups like that. You know, we're connected more than ever, but we're further away more than ever as well, you know. So, and there's a lot of people out there that don't have those friend groups or those support groups, yeah. and you know, they're struggling with that. So I know there's a lot of people out there that do struggle with it. Mm-hmm. This has been wonderful. Again, the more we talk about stuff like this and the more we get it across to people that there are resources, I think the better for the community. So Sharon, I think it's a wrap.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so
Kathy,
much.
Donna, thank you both for being on. Thank you for what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Thanks for serving on the committee and all you do for nurse anesthesia. And wish you both best of luck.
That's a real working committee, too. I know y'all work a lot on that committee.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, Sharon, we want to thank our listeners for listening to Beyond the Mask with Jeremy Stanley and
Sharon Pierce.
If they like our show, want to help us grow, what can they do to help us?
Well, the best way to help us grow is to leave us a review. But make it
positive. We know there's enough negativity in this world.
Yeah, we just talked about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Share us on social media. Tell your friends. We grow by word of mouth.
Yep. We're number one in the CRNA community in podcasts, consistently in the top 50 medical podcasts in the country. We'd love to be number one in the country, wouldn't we?
Yes, we would.
When would we get there? The listeners helping us grow.
That's it. It's fun. It's good to be queen. So good to be queen.
Until next time.
It's a wrap.
Attention all certified nurse anesthetists. Are you in need of a reliable and quality continuing education option? Well, look no further than CRNAeducation.com. We are an NBCRNA recognized provider, offering all four core CPC modules to meet your certification requirements. You can choose from more than 100 AANA prior approved Class A CE credits, with 43 articles covering a wide range of anesthesia topics. Need pharmacology CE credits? Well, we've got you covered there as well, with over 40 pharmacology CE credits available. All credits are completed online and are mobile friendly. Choose articles worth 1, 2, or 3 credits. There's no subscriptions, no hidden fees, just the CE credits you need when you need them. Owned by CRNAs since 2011, you can trust in our commitment to your education. And customer service is always a quick email or phone call or even text away. To sign up and find out more about our education options, visit CRNAeducation.com, your partner in continuing education. That's CRNAeducation.com. Beyond the Mask is made possible by the team at CRNA Financial Planning. With almost 2 decades of experience, the firm guides CRNAs through the complexities of investing and financial planning. Schedule a free consultation today by calling 855-304-3748 or go online to crnafinancialplanning.com.
Hi, this is Jackie Rolls, president of the International Federation of Nurse Anesthetists and president and founder of Our Hearts, Your Hands, a global anesthesia support community that takes donations to allow nurse anesthetists in low and middle income countries to go to educational programs, buy equipment, or textbooks. Your donations are tax deductible, and we would appreciate your support.
Be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere you like to listen to shows. Also, be sure to check out BeyondTheMaskPodcast.com. Each episode is posted there with a corresponding blog post, and we timestamp important parts of the episode to help you quickly get to the content you're looking for. Also, check out the special series section on the site. You can follow along and catch up on the CRNA History Series, episodes specifically about political conversations in the industry, or try the CRNA Personal Finance Series. It's all on beyondthemaskpodcast.com. And if you have a question for the show or want to be a guest or even suggest a particular topic, fill out the contact form on the site or send an email directly to us at info@beyondthemaskpodcast.com. And lastly, let's take the conversation social. Check out our Beyond the Mask podcast Facebook page and Facebook group.